Hello, this is Masao. I'm a producer at Studio Cut to Bits in Montreal, and I'm your host for What Else Do You Do? Today, we have Peachy Anna.
Hi.
Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm Peachy Anna on the internet, but if I'm not on the internet, I'm Anna Schumann. And what I do in the games industry is I'm a narrative designer and a writer. So I do a lot of story elements and I do a lot of dialogue writing. Probably my most known game right now is Arcade Spirits. It's an indie game about finding love in arcades and what happened if the 1980s arcade crash never happened. I've also done writing on The World Next Door, and we're currently working on our second game, Arcade Spirits, The New Challengers. Besides that, I'm also working on another game called First Bite, which is going to be a super amazing, super horny vampire game.
That's a lot of games. I'm working on one game and it's kind of like terrifying and overwhelming. I don't know how you managed to do so many more.
Right. Well, you were saying that this is your first sort of indie game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's sort of like when we were working on Arcade Spirits, that was my first game. And once you go from there, you just are like, oh, well, if I can do one indie game, why not work on three at the same time? So you're not quite there yet in your timeline. Don't worry. Come back in like 2 years and you'll be like, I'm working on seven games.
I don't know. I hope not. I'm a producer. So like managing seven games sounds like...
That is a lot of managing.
That sounds just terrifying.
I know people all who do. Managing.
Like I know some like freelance producers that work on multiple projects, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Somebody I knew that had like six projects was like, I can't do this anymore, and now she's down to I think two.
Oh,
which
thank
I think
good.
She's like, she thinks that it's more the manageable amount. But yeah. Getting back to the topic of our podcast. So our podcast is called What Else Do You Do? So what else do you do?
Well, what else do I do? I also stream video games. I'm Sharky Enna on there. But most of my time is taken up by veterinary medicine. I am a licensed veterinary nurse, and I'm also a practice manager for two hospitals. And so what that entails is that basically, I started with my friends and the owners of the hospital at one point, and then we got big enough to have two hospitals, and I was like their main licensed tech at the time, and so I just sort of grew into the position of hospital manager, but I still get to do a lot of the nursing stuff as well.
Okay, so you manage the business and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting.
Yeah, it's not different from like any other like management position. Like there's HR stuff, like I do scheduling. I do all the not fun like paperwork aspects, but because we're always busy, like I'll jump in for a blood draw or, you know, I'll help place a catheter if, you know, someone can't get a catheter in an animal. So I get to still like I get to do it all essentially, which is pretty fun. I get to have aspects in like how the hospital is actually managed and like what our policies are and what we're going to allow and what we're not going to allow. And then I get to do the fun stuff like giving fluids or running anesthesia and stuff like that.
Can you explain why that is fun? Because that sounds terrifying to me.
Well, I guess it always goes back to when I was a kid and I had pets, right? That's like every veterinary professional story. It's like, I love animals, which there are a lot of people that do love animals. And at one point in my life, I was like, I want to help animals. So that just put me on a path of like, I'm going to be a veterinarian. And then I got to college and I realized that being a veterinarian, it takes a lot of academic skills. And at the point in my life where I was in college, I wasn't completely focused on academia. I was more focused with playing video games and hanging out and having fun, as most college students are. So I didn't have the great focus to like actually succeed in academia because it's highly competitive to get into veterinary college. So after that, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get like a 4.0 and be able to apply to all these veterinary colleges. So what was left in my career is I can be a veterinary nurse, which is basically one like human medicine too. Like I can't do surgery. I can't do any of like, I can't prescribe medication, but I still get to do a lot of the fun stuff. So that's sort of where I ended up and I did that. And now that I've gotten on this tangent, I forgot your question of talking about veterinary medicine. I think it was just like, how is this fun?
Yeah, like how is that fun? Like because I love animals and you know, like being around a lot of animals and helping animals, that sounds very cool, but like sticking them with needles doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that part. Okay, so completely honest, that part is not the most fun part. I think the most fun part is sort of just being in love with the animals with the owners too. Like a lot of people don't understand that when you go into veterinary medicine, they think it's just going to be about animals and I get to hang out with animals. But it's a lot of human interaction as well, because you have to know how to talk to these people when their animals are hurt or not doing well. And it's a lot of education, which I love educating people. I love teaching people new things. So in that aspect, yes, the animals are super fun and they're super cute and you do feel good about helping animals, but it's almost more fun because of the human interactions that you have around the pets and around these animals that they love so much. And it's just super gratifying to be like, we're taking care of your baby or your pet, and to have them sort of be a part of that health as well. I think it really is the human animal bond that is the most fun. And just seeing that not only between, you know, your coworkers and your employees with the animals, but also the human animal bond that comes from owners and their own pets. And that part is just so joyful and so much fun, just to see all those interactions and how we all interact with animals in our daily life. Also, I really like anesthesia, and anesthesia is just like a huge puzzle to me, and I really like puzzles.
Like in terms of like dosing or?
Yeah, yes and no. So with anesthesia, I used to be really, really afraid of running anesthesia. And granted, anesthesia is one of the most critical things you can do in veterinary medicine. It's one of the things that we always say is the most dangerous thing, because at any moment, like you are basically helping this pet go under anesthesia and checking on vitals and stuff like that. And it's the one thing, this is going to sound really scary, it's the one thing that, you know, you can do that will kill an animal, right? Like if you give too many medications or not enough, it can lead to a crisis. So that's why anesthesia is scary, and rightfully so. You know, if your pet's going under anesthesia, most people have a lot of questions about that. So I used to be really scared of that. And then I took a whole bunch of, like, I wanted to learn more about it so I wouldn't be as scared and so I could be good at it. And it's all just an intricate puzzle of like, what are the drugs that we're using? How do those drugs interact with our pets' bodies? Like, what does that do for them? And how then we measuring those vitals and looking at the drugs that we've used and what's going on with our patients' bodies and our organ systems, and then how to adjust what's happening in the anesthesia. Like, do I need to turn down the gas? Does my patient need more pain medications? Something looks weird on the ECG. Is that a mechanical thing? Is that my patient's, you know, actually, is that my patient's heart? Like, is it based off a drug interaction that's going on in the body? Like, how can we reverse that? So it's a lot of sort of guessing and checking and looking at your whole patient while also looking at your monitors and what drugs you have available and everything like that. So it is a giant complicated puzzle that I really, really enjoy.
It does sound actually quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, it's one of those things that a lot of people, even in veterinary medicine, I find a lot of people are intimidated by, and rightfully so. But it was one of those things that I took that intimidation and I was like, nope, we're going to make this work and I want to be the best at this. And this is where we're at now.
Well, that's very cool.
Thank you.
So how did you start making video games, or was this something that was running concurrently with your veterinary career, or at one point you decided you're going to make video games, or how did that happen?
Yeah, that's a very good point and a very good question. So I have obviously, like, veterinary medicine has been my long-term career. I started when I was like 18 and I've been doing it for like 15 years. So, and on the other hand, like, in my not working life, I've always loved video games. I've always loved writing. I remember like one day in eighth grade, we had to like write a fairy tale or something. And I spent all night writing it out and I was so proud of it. So I've always sort of had these hobbies of like, I love video games. I love writing. And growing up as like a young girl, I never thought that I could have a career in that just based on like growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s. You just didn't see that, right? So I was just like, oh, well, that would just be like a dream that's never going to come true. So I never even thought that I could be a video game writer, you know, as a young girl. So I just went on this path of veterinary medicine because that's what I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And then I started going to PAX and started realizing that there are more people out there in the world and there are game writers and that this is an actual thing that people can do and make money off of. And I was like, one day I want to write video games. Like I love writing stories and I love creating these worlds and I would love to do that in my favorite hobby. So eventually I just made a whole bunch of friends and, you know, people had openings for contract writers and I applied and I got to work on a game. And then my friend Stefan, who runs Fiction Factory Games with me, came to me and was like, you want to make a game about arcades and love? And I was like, heck yeah, I do. And that's sort of how it took off.
I can totally relate because I kind of accidentally ended up in the games industry.
Mm-hmm. I always love hearing people's like story of how did you get into the video game industry? Because it's never clear cut.
I mean, nowadays people go to like game schools and then like get a job in games. Mm-hmm. But like I graduated university in 2006. So like my generation, that was less common. Mm-hmm. And in my case, so I was studying political science and I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, but I realized that all my friends that were in law school hated law school. And then all my friends who had become lawyers hated being lawyers.
Oh no.
And this was in California and California has too many lawyers. So
is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. They have the high. I'm not sure if it's continued to be a thing, but like at the time, I was told that they had the highest per capita number of lawyers.
Wow.
And the problem was that the people were graduating law schools and couldn't get a job, and they had like tons of debt because like it's expensive. So I'm like, okay, so I have to do this thing, which is extremely difficult and really painful and nobody likes, so I could get a job where I have to make a lot of money so I could pay back all this debt that I got at a job that I'm probably not going to like. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why would I want to do this to myself? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, I shouldn't do that. That sounds like a really dumb idea. And then I was like, well, but what else am I going to do?
Right.
And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I have a political science degree and nobody gives a shit about that. and the only marketable skill I had at that point was I'm Japanese. I was born and raised in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I'm bilingual. And I had volunteered at anime conventions when mm-hmm. I was in college to do like translation and interpreting.
That's cool.
So I was like, well, maybe I can try to do that. So I started like getting temp jobs, working in either bilingual office settings mm-hmm. or doing translation. And at one point, there was a Craigslist ad for a translator position at Ubisoft. And a friend of mine was like, well, do you want to try to apply over there? And I was like, well, I guess. Like, I played Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and that was a really cool game. And I liked Rainbow Six 3. And mm-hmm. so I was like, yeah, maybe. And then that was it. That was my first, like, full-time non-contract job. Yeah. And I worked for them for 13 years. That was pretty much, like, my only grown-up job mm-hmm. in my life before I started the studio with my friends. But yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Like, thank you for sharing that.
I didn't think that, like, it never occurred to me that people worked in video games, you know?
Right. Yeah. I feel like we're roughly the same age, but yeah, that was just like not a thing that I thought could even be a career choice when I was a kid. I was like, oh yeah, people make video games and I'm enjoying them, but I was never like put two and two together that like I could make games?
Well, it kind of seemed like one of those dreams that sounded like, oh, I want to be a like a football player, or like,
yeah,
like, you know, I want to be a astronaut. Rock star. Yeah. Yeah, like people say that, but like, you know, like,
yeah,
they're not really serious. I mean, like most people aren't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what video games felt like.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that entirely. And yeah, and it wasn't until like I was an adult that I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. And thank goodness for like the huge explosion of indie games too, because I think I would still feel very intimidated and like I wouldn't try as hard to be like, oh, I'm going to go work for a AAA company, because that still seems like even as an indie game developer, like thinking about like applying to a AAA company is horribly intimidating. And I'm like, I don't think I would ever get a job there, you know, even though it happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time, first of all. And secondly, it's not harder. It's different. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know plenty of people who like straight out of school get a job at AAA companies.
Wow.
So it's not like, it really depends on where you are and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm based out of Montreal, and Montreal is kind of a crazy place. Because there's 10,000 people working in video games in this one city.
Wow.
I think it's the largest concentration of video game developers in probably North America.
Yeah.
If not the world. Like,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. And Montreal is not like, it's a big city, but it's not like, it's in the like probably top 20 largest cities in North America, but like it's not top 10, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so to have that many people concentrated here is kind of weird. And because of that, there's a lot of openings, and there's actually a lot of video game schools in Montreal and the surrounding areas, and they get recruited pretty hard.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I feel like, because I live in Portland, Oregon, so like,
yeah,
we have a huge, I was like, we've got a couple of indie game studios, yeah, and one just moved in. But yeah, growing up here, it was just like, yeah, you'd
have
to live
in
California. You're
not going to get a AAA job, like, straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have to relocate. And mm-hmm. that's the thing. Like, nobody relocates juniors
mm-hmm.
because it's just not worth it. And a lot of times, like, if it requires a visa, you just won't even qualify for it. Like, I've done visa application work for our studio. And basically, the government is like, well, if they don't have a certain amount of experience, they would just be like, why don't you just hire locally? So,
right. Yeah, that's got to be tough, like trying to employ people from, you know, different countries.
Yeah, right now it's gone completely insane.
I bet.
Yeah, visa application takes so much longer. And I know people who actually work in that field, like relocating. Major studios have completely shut down like relocation because they're like, it's not, it takes too long. And if it takes a year and a half to hire somebody, like, I mean, not just like the just logistics of it. Like, if it takes a year and a half to get somebody here,
mm-hmm.
and you're, you know, a typical AAA project is looking at like a production cycle of like, let's say, like 3 years with a like a ramp up that's towards the end, that's probably like a 18 month to 22 months cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if it takes a year and a half, like it's just completely, you can't plan that in, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So,
by the time they make it, the game is practically like, done.
Yeah. Like, you can't, yeah, it's impossible. And in an indie context, like, can you imagine if you had to plan staffing that started like 18 months from now? Like,
right. I bet I could do it. I feel like I have.
Mean, you can, but yeah, like, that's assuming that 18 months is a fix, not like around 18 months. It could be 24, you know?
Like, yeah. And who knows what happens to that person's like,
they
maybe
might change their mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That just brings me back to like making veterinary like doctor schedules for like 3 months in advance. Like, I try and be like on top of it. I was like, all right, here's your schedule for 3 months. But the way with the pandemic and everything that's played out, I have to rewrite schedules all the time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's go to our next question, mm-hmm. Which is, so what do you get out of working with animals and working in a veterinary context that you don't get out of working in video games?
Well, like I was saying, it's a lot of that human-animal bond, because obviously like there's not a lot of human animal bonds in video games. So I guess
games are still not being made for animals.
Not yet. There are some games that are made for animals on like the iPad. They've got like the little like catch the fish for cats and stuff like that.
Do they like it? My cat does not show interest in screens.
I think it depends on the animal. I think some animals are really attracted to sort of the movement of things. And then some other animals aren't. I don't know. I've never really tried it with my own animals.
Oh.
You hear that, Hippo? She's in my lap right now. You gotta be the best gamer cat that ever was, okay?
You can start streaming.
Oh my gosh.
The cat streamer.
She would be perfect for it. But yeah, going back to that, I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I get a lot of pride and a lot of like, not professionalism, but this is like my career path. So it brings me different happiness feelings than it does with video games. And it almost makes me enjoy my game work a lot more because it is, yes, another job, but it's like almost my hobby. So it gives me that work-life separation or work-life balance, even though I don't really have one, but it feels that way. Animal medicine, it gives me a good feeling in terms of being able to help people. And yes, video games does that too, because there have been several people that have been like, your video game has changed my life entirely. And so I get that feeling of helping people as well, but it is slightly different. And I get to really use my education, you know, skills to teach people a lot more as well. And that just, it fills my heart in a different way than making video games does. It's more of a, not altruistic, but my help is, I can greatly see that on impact. Like I can help somebody and then I can see their face or like hear it in their voice. Whereas a video game, I put in all my heart into the video game. And yeah, you can see it on the internet sometimes, but it's not that direct balance of like, I'm giving this in and I'm getting that back, if that makes sense.
Oh, for sure. Making video games very much feels like, you know, it gets sucked into the void and what happens on the other side, who knows?
Yeah. You're like, everybody may love this. They may hate it. Probably half and half, but it almost doesn't feel real because with video games, you sort of have to separate yourself from that. You know, you can't like read too much into that. Otherwise, sometimes, at least for me, like if I see too many bad comments or whatever, you know, which is totally fair, I'll just get really sad on myself. I'll be like, oh, I didn't make people happy, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see that. So let's do the flip side. So what do you think being involved with veterinary medicine brings to you as a game developer in terms of your process or your creative output?
Let's see. I got to think about this for just a second.
You don't want to make a vet management game?
No.
Like manage a pet hospital?
Here's the thing. If I made a vet management game, nobody would play it because it would be way too accurate and not
fun. It wouldn't be fun.
It wouldn't be fun. I was just out of curiosity. There was one day there was like, I think it was like Barbie's like veterinary game. And I was like, okay, let's take a look at this. And the game starts off with like Barbie having like $10,000 and she's like, let's make a vet hospital. It's like $10,000 is not even going to get you an anesthesia monitoring machine. Like $10,000 is nothing. Like you can't start a hospital with $10,000, Barbie. What are you doing? You can't do that. And I would just take all the fun out of it. Be like, listen, you're going to need this, 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 and this. And then it'd be like, I would get way too accurate. It'll be like on like diseases and stuff. I'll be like, your dog has worms. And then it'd be like, here's some medicine. I'll be like, what kind of medicine is that? Is that fine? Like, is that going to interrupt with anything else that's going on with that dog? Like, what are we talking about? I would make it so not fun. It'd be way too serious and way too real to be fun. But
strange anecdote. My first game that I worked on was it was called Pet Hospital.
Really?
And it was like, yeah, it was a little kid's game. It was like,
Oh my gosh.
You have like mini games where you wrap like a paw with like gauze. And, like,
that's so cute.
Stuff like that. Yeah. That was the first game I ever worked on.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's adorable. See, And here's the flip side to that. I'm like, oh, that's really cute and that's really adorable. But if I ever tried to play that game, I'd be like, listen, we need like four types. We need, where's the coniform bandage? Like, where's the Elasticon?
This was like really for little kids. Like, this is back in like the DS days. Remember, like, like Nintendo Dogs and like, this is the demographic it was going after.
Oh, that's so cute. I love it. Yeah. I think for me, I could not work on a veterinary game. It'd be way too difficult for me. But I love hearing about these kind of experiences and that people get, you know, because I think it's very interesting, the whole veterinary field, because it's one of those things that it's almost like it feels like it's shrouded in mystery sometimes, because people are like, well, I bring my dog to the vet and then, you know, we do the exam and then I get my dog back, but I don't know or understand what has happened. And I feel like that needs to change in veterinary medicine. Like, people need to be more involved. But what veterinary medicine...
Do they?
What?
But do they? I mean, do people even have that kind of bandwidth on a day-to-day?
I think so. I feel like the more that you're educating your clients and the more that you're educating the people, the better that it's going to be for them and not in understanding, you know, how they're taking care of their pets and what that means for their pets' overall well-being and their entire lives. I think... I feel like there's a negative stigma in veterinary medicine where it's like, oh, I just, you know, they take my dog to the back or they take my cat to the back for like these treatments. And then they get to hear their pets, you know, potentially being in pain because, you know, injections hurt it's not fun and it's stressful for animals. And then they just feel like something bad is happening to my pet behind these doors. And then I get my pet back and now my pet's all scared and nervous. But if we have more hands-on with the client, not necessarily hands-on with them holding or stuff like that, but like explaining the process and preparing clients for like, this is going to hurt. Like it's going to be like a little bee sting of an injection, because when we get vaccines, they don't feel great too.
Yeah.
And so then they...
Or going to the dentist, like nobody likes that.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, and I always try and relate like animal medicine to our own feelings. And I think that helps educate people about that. And it's less shrouded in mystery of what veterinary medicine is. And I think we're moving more towards that in the industry and less towards, you know, you are going to find less and less veterinarians that are like what I want to say old school, and that old school way of thinking of like, clients don't need to be involved. We'll just take care of everything, you know.
I see. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. But going back to your original
question of how does this impact you as a game developer?
Yeah. I think it also impacts me in a way of as a writer, like I get to know about all these different types of feelings. So I'm really able to sort of tap into a lot of different emotions that I felt in veterinary medicine and relay that to the characters that I'm writing and to what they're feeling. And while it may not be the exact same experience, I can definitely understand those feelings and write about those feelings. I also feel like it just inspires me on a different level to be able to take what I do in my day job and relate it in video games. Like, this is my passion. Like, video games are my passion project, you know, and it's what I love to do. And the fact that it does give me such a strong divide between work, what I do for a profession, and what I do on my spare time, that I can literally be like, all right, now I'm working on video games and it has nothing to do with my work or my stress that I get from my work. And it purely, I can focus on that. So in that regard, I think it helps just with focusing and just being able to like enjoy my writing and enjoy my video game, if that makes sense.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, in terms of like technical skills, like I don't know if like placing an IV catheter would ever help me write better, but maybe. I don't know, maybe describing it I could.
Well, I'm sure your management skills transfers over to looking at project management differently.
Yeah, that's true too. Cuz there's timelines for everything, and you know, you have to. And knowing how to talk to people also helps as well, because in veterinary medicine, like, not only do you need to know how to talk to clients, but you also have to know how to talk to your employees and your coworkers and your bosses and stuff like that. So it's a lot of getting good at talking to people, which is helpful in the indie games and how you interact with people on a daily life, you know?
For sure. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to wrap up with the final question, which is, what is something you would like people to know about veterinary medicine that they wouldn't know if they weren't involved?
Yeah. That people in veterinary medicine, most of the time, majority of the time, are not in it for the money. And I know this sort of seems like it comes out of left field a little bit, but once again, there's a lot of weird stigmas in veterinary medicine. And a lot of the times when people are upset or, you know, and obviously like taking, if you have an animal who you love dearly and it's something bad happens, it's not an ideal situation. But, and as a hospital, like you can't save every animal and you can't help every animal because you only have the amount of people that you have to take care of animals. So there are times when you're like, I'm so sorry, we can't get your pet in for this. You have to go to an emergency hospital or something like that. We get a lot of pushback from people that don't understand that sort of aspect of managing a hospital. And often you hear people saying, well, you're just in this for the money, or you don't care about animals. Why won't you help mine? And I understand that this is also said in a time of like duress and stress and, you know, there's a lot of different things going on, but it, that happens so much in the veterinary industry and it really affects veterinary, like nurses, doctors, assistants, everybody that works in veterinary medicine, because we're just trying our best. You know, we're doing what we can with the amount of people and the time that we have and the resources that we have within our hospital. And we really care about these animals and we really care about the people attached. I mean, if I could do it, I would not sleep. I would help as many animals as possible. And I would do it without giving anything. But at this end of the day, like I have to provide for my family and my animals too. And that means putting up boundaries. And I think that's really hard for some people to understand. So most people that I've met, and granted, I know there's going to be like that one weird evil veterinarian somewhere that's only in it for the money. But most of us are in it because we genuinely care about helping people and helping animals. And we do the best that we can with everything. And that's what I want people to know.
Well, I think that was really nice.
Thank
I think
you.
It makes a lot of sense, you know, like I don't think I mean, considering how competitive it is to get there, you really have to be motivated and you really have to love animals.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think like the other aspect too is like veterinary medicine, you don't make a lot of money in veterinary medicine. You know, if I had gone back in time and told my young self in college that, hey, you know, through most of your veterinary career, you will be living paycheck to paycheck. And if you weren't in like this relationship that you're in now, like you'd still be living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I don't know, would I still do the same thing? I thought that, you know, going into veterinary medicine, oh, I'll be a nurse, like I'll be able to provide for myself and have, you know, be able to pay rent and stuff like that. But there's not, like, people that are in veterinary medicine don't make a lot of money. So the fact that not only are we in this because, like, if we didn't love animals, we could go work at a, you know, telephone company and call people and make more money doing kind of other things that don't give us this joy and this drive to help animals, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like there's a lot of a lot of careers out there that that are really driven by passion and love. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Teachers should get paid more too.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I don't live in the States anymore, but like, I think what's happening down there is criminal.
Yeah, there. Well, we have to do so many changes for that. But yeah, at the end of the day, people aren't in veterinary medicine for the money. We're in it for the animal, the human animal bond, and helping animals and helping people, and we're in it for the love, you know.
Well, thank you very much. That was really great. I really enjoyed this.
Oh, thank you. I had so much fun too. This was great. I don't get to talk about like video games in my work life because not a lot of people play video games that work in veterinary medicine. And like, same, like when I'm in my video game life, like not a lot of people talk to me about veterinary medicine. So this was like a perfect combination. And I'm glad that I was able to share a little bit of my story to everybody.
And this was extremely interesting, and I'm really glad that we got to hear your story.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you and have a good day.
You too.
Thank you for listening, and please rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. And thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music for this and every episode. And thank you to Therese Lance for providing the logo. Bye.